When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Ahoy!
Ahoy! Ahoy there, Martin.
Ahoy there, Craig. Ahoy. Martin Ben Jones here. How lovely it is to be back aboard the good ship Time Ghost.
Yes, indeed. Yes, hoving into view.
Oh, nice. Yes.
Do you like that? Yes.
I do, hoving. Yes, well, it's been some time. How long has it been, Craig? Yes,
I believe it was the last time capitalism was in crisis. I mean, our remit, I don't believe, has changed that much in the intervening decade, which is we're going to be, well, let's stick with the ship's metaphor. We're going to be taking the temperature of the sailors on the ship.
Taking the temperature of the sea.
Oh, yes.
Sometimes she's calm. Yes. Mill pond, that's what we say. Mill pond, calm. Remember, you'd been working for some ruddy, marvellous a pop pull out of a broadsheet, and I had been on the Daily Telegraph, the pop section of Daily Telegraph. I'd been there, that editor, and then we met at the Times, didn't we? Times of London.
We did. And there's been no looking back, apart from the
some looking back.
12 years.
We were let go, weren't we? After the crash.
Oh, well, it was a crisis. It was a crash.
Well, it was a crisis. Yes.
There was a crisis in journalism. Crisis that is nothing.
It was just the sun going behind a cloud. What news, sir?
Well, I mean, I've been rushed off my feet. Yes, I had a little stint on the Wiltshire Advertiser. That was fun.
I read a lovely bit of yours. There's a piece of yours, I think, on the winter barley crop, I think you wrote about.
Well, it was a phenomenal year. Yes.
Well, it was,
2011, yes. I mean, the fields were waterlogged, and we had to look to some, I'd say almost, East Asian strains of the crop, which was, it was quite a big story. And I was the first to break it, as you know. What about you, Martin?
Well, interestingly, I do still keep up with some of the cultural dings and dongs, as it were. But as you know, I've branched into agriculture now. I'm a gentleman farmer up here in Herefordshire. I supply organic mange tout to a couple of supermarkets. And we're branching into heritage camps.
Do you mean a couple of supermarket chains or just literally a couple of supermarkets?
It's a couple of chains, yes.
Yes,
chains, yes. So we are. You might say I'm Mr. Mange Tout. Actually, no, I'm not, because that was a real person, wasn't he? He used to eat aeroplanes and things, I think, didn't he? Monsieur Mange Tout, I think he was.
Monsieur Mange Tout, yes,
I'm guessing he was French. I don't know where I'm getting that from.
Well, you tell the listeners where you are.
Oh, okay. I am at our house in Herefordshire, which is called Dunnell.
You mean downhill?
Yeah. Yes. It's written downhill. Pronounced Dunnell. Yeah.
It's also pronounced downhill.
Yeah, it's Dunnell. With a bound, Craig.
Well, Martin. I am at is the Holiday Inn.
Oh, sounds nice.
In Algiers, yes.
Sounds less nice. I'll be frank.
Long story, yes. I'll keep really, really short. Basically, I've got quite a nice little gig at the moment. I write these thought pieces in the British Airways In-Flight Magazine.
Oh yes, I've read them, and I'm told to put away my laptop, and I've got nothing to get myself occupied between that moment and touchdown.
Yes. Yes, I also do the descriptions of the sandwiches and stuff as well. But my main focus is a sort of travel piece imagination pieces, we call them. And basically, BA was opening up this new route to Algiers, which was very, very exciting because it's the coming noise, as you know.
Well, of course it is. It hasn't really been on most people's lists, has it, as a destination for a long time?
No, it's got a couple. There's a couple of drawbacks.
Yes, not since the Crusades, I don't think.
Yes. I mean, there's been a few issues. Anyway, opened it up again, and I was in on the first flight. Of course, we immediately went into lockdown. So I'm here on the, I think it's the fourth floor of the Holiday Inn. You might be able to hear the birdsong out of the window there.
No, I can't at the moment. I get the occasional noise of a passing scooter, maybe.
Yeah, it's a tank, actually, but yes.
There we go.
So that's me, Holiday Inn, Algiers.
Fair enough. Have you been out of your room at all?
I was given a pass, actually, a written pass with a printed stamp that permitted me to actually go downstairs into the restaurant a couple of days ago, which was very, very exciting. But no, the rest of the time we're just told to keep in our rooms and stay away from the window.
That's well. I'm just thinking of the great film, the Battle of Algiers. Is it like that? Is it a martial law?
It's pretty much martial law. Yes, police and thieves on the streets.
Oh
yeah,
plus agents.
It's not the worst tourist destination. I wouldn't say they'd sort of welcome visitors with open arms. Unless they're sort of standing in a ring around you, trying to catch you.
And culturally speaking, I suppose not much opportunity for you to get out much.
That's why I thought it'd be such a pleasure to have another chat with you, Martin. I thought we could maybe just, I think it feels like we could just keep our listeners abreast of all the new developments culturally.
Yes, because of course there are developments culturally, even though we are in lockdown. And this is an exciting sort of paradox, isn't it?
A paradox that you couldn't express more concisely other than with the One World at Home Together concert. Which I think wore its confusion admirably in its title.
Did you catch that,
Martin? One World Together at Home?
I didn't, I'm afraid, but I have seen a couple of clips from it. I watched a bit of the Stones playing. They played a set with Charlie,
drumming away on flight cases, wasn't he? On the arm of a chair. Yes.
I think with special virtual drumsticks. I think that's what they were. They just sense the movement.
I mean, I was pleased to see the Rolling Stones on there because I feel if anyone, Keith Richards could sort of be a sort of biological firewall against coronavirus. I was surprised not to see him in the studio, sort of deployed somewhere, maybe on the NHS front line.
Yes.
I don't think anything could get past him, really.
No, he's looking in better shape than I think I've seen him for about 25 years. I wonder if we have now really truly reached the point where it's not simply enough to gather big names together if what they're going to perform is essentially chonky old crap. I think that's right, isn't it? It sort of had the... There was an element of
chonky old crap, wasn't there? Yeah.
Well, I thought a little bit. And I think, you know, there would have been a time when I think that very... not so much unplugged as thoroughly unvarnished. That kind of performance might have excited us, perhaps, just getting the waft and weave, the real grain and the grit of the artist. But actually, that comes a point where you think, oh, it's just a bit boring.
What's sort of interesting is without the veneer,
yes,
without sort of Rowan Atkinson sort of spring, you know, the televisual Rowan Atkinson sprinkling all the glitter and sweetmeats over the gift,
yes,
as per. The hell is that film called?
Oh, Christ, I don't know.
The Christmas one. Love Actually. Love. Thank you. Oh, my goodness.
Love Actually. Oh, yes, there you go.
So much of what's transporting about show business,
yes,
is the idea that you can't touch it, that it's not within your reach. And I think, you know, when, as you say, Paul McCartney with a shonky old laptop set up in front of him.
Yes,
it doesn't sort of. You're missing something, aren't you?
Yes, I think that's right. And in a funny way, what I would have preferred genuinely, the clip I saw of the Stones playing, I should have liked to have seen them playing in the most opulent rooms in their mansions. Instead of which, I saw them performing in the sort of corner of their music studio, the sort of the home studio. You know, that's, you could always tell the sort of the deeply red Persian rug, the studio rug. You know what I mean?
Yes, you can imagine someone saying, "Oh, careful, Mick! No, you've caught the Manet there. No, right a bit.
Yeah,
right a bit.
Yeah.
No, wait! You've got the gold velvet curtain. So come back.
Bit.
Go into the corner there. There's a crack in the wall. If you could just get that just popping out the top of your head, that'll be perfect. Thank you.
Yes. I could have done with a bit of coveting. I'd have liked to have been envious of the wonderful lives these people led. It was interesting, wasn't it? Who was the character? Was it someone from Microsoft or somewhere like that who showed himself on his yacht?
Paul Allen.
Was it Paul Allen? I think it might have been. There he was somewhere wonderful on his yacht. Everyone was up in arms. I was delighted. I was vicariously diving into the bottomless blue sea.
Oh, you mean when he said he was isolating on his yacht?
Yes, he was self-isolating on his yacht. And I was thinking, well, that's a lovely idea. I mean, I don't have a yacht, but it doesn't... It was making my self-isolation a little bit...
It's nice to think of someone having a bit of fun.
Come on.
I mean, I think cruise ships are notoriously the place that everyone catches coronavirus, so probably not the wisest...
Certainly. No, not
probably not the wisest place for him to ride out the epidemic. You know, which would get you first? You know, the Legionnaire's disease or the
exactly the race of
or the Lurg.
The pathogen exactly a pathogen Grand National.
Be a photo finish in some Montenegro.
Absolutely, yes. Then you survive, and then you just fall off the back and get munched by the propellers. Everyone gets through it, and then the drunk Italian who's in charge of the whole outfit then runs aground because he's trying to impress cabin full of girls.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Of course, everyone at the moment seems to be talking about one thing and one thing alone, and that is the phenomenon of Tiger King.
Yes. Oh, now that's... Now, wait a minute. Now, you've struck a vein there, Martin.
Well...
What would you call it, really? It's a documentary?
Very, very... Documentally disturbing? I don't know. It's
documental.
I've seen an episode. That's all I've
seen.
So
shall I give you a rough sort of précis?
Yes.
Basically, they all seem to be into crystal meth, seems to be the main thing. But as a sideline, they love to keep big cats. It's all in America.
Yes.
Some of them are in Florida.
Quite southerly, isn't it?
Yes, generally the southern states.
Yes, none of it's set in Vermont, for example.
No, hard to imagine a big cat reserve in Vermont. Yeah. David Mamet prowling around with a scoped rifle. They're nuts, aren't they? All of them.
Oh, they are.
Joe Exotic.
What was his real name? His real name was Frank Exotic or something like that, wasn't it?
His real name is Passage. Joe Passage. Yes.
Is that really it?
That is Mr. Passage. It's absolutely what he's called. It's absolutely
he's called
what
Joe
he's
Passage.
called.
Wow.
It's called Joe Passage. I think there's a double barrel in there somewhere. I mean, there's plenty of double barrels in the show, but I mean, there's a double barrel in terms of his name. I think he's called something like Montefiore Passage or something.
Oh, I see. But yes, what a cast of characters. A cavalcade of grotesques, isn't it? And actually, even the people, the so-called goodies, are fairly grotesque. Although I do have a bit of a soft spot for the lovely Carol Baskin. Oh, Carol Baskin with her lovely milky, milky face. Do you know what I mean? A milky face.
She's got a milky moon face, hasn't she?
A milky moon face. I don't know. It's funny, when someone says they're whey-faced, that's not what she is. No, she's not whey-faced. She's very much milky-faced.
I would say her partner was whey-faced.
Yes, that's true. He's whey-faced.
To me, it sort of means that it's a bit like whey. It's not one thing or the other. It's not curds and it's not milk.
Well, it's a terrible sort of watery substance, isn't it? Slightly greeny coloured, I think, isn't it? Whey. I don't know. The curds, that's where you want to be. The curds. That's where the fun's at. But I tell you, she's milky face. She reminds me of another heroine of mine. In fact, if I saw her at a literary gathering, I would probably assume she was Hilary Mantel.
Oh.
She looks like her, don't you think?
So Hilary Mantel's a woman? I always assumed Hilary Mantel. I always assumed it was one of those things where, you know, men quite often have women's names and women.
Well,
particularly American women, I've noticed, have men's names. Have you ever noticed that?
Yes.
For example, in England, men will have women's names. So you'll have Hilary, Shirley.
Yes, Shirley Crabtree. Hilary Benn.
Famously, Shirley
Leslie
Crabtree.
Phillips.
Leslie Phillips. There you go.
There you go.
And in America, it's women have men's names. The men don't have women's names in America. The women will be called things like Johnny.
David. Yes.
Or Chris. Steve. Dave.
Yes.
That sort of
Tyler.
Thing.
Yes. Exactly. Whereas the men, they have the names of composers like Elgar.
Yes, or places they? Like Winchester.
Yes,
places
Winchester.
Places in rural England.
Atwood. Yeah. Cleveland.
Salisbury.
That's right.
Yes.
Morpeth Harrison.
My name is Morpeth Harrison. Please meet my son.
Gatwick.
And my newborn daughter, Kevin. That would be a typical American family. Absolutely typical.
Absolutely right.
Absolutely typical. Whereas the English, the women, they generally have names from Victorian novels.
Yes, Polly, Molly, you know the ones.
Millie, Molly, Mandy.
Millie,
yes,
Molly,
exactly.
Lily.
Iris. Maud,
yes.
There we go.
Yes.
Yes, exactly.
They're lovely names, by the way. They're lovely.
Lovely.
Lovely names.
Not quarrelling with the names. It's simply an observation.
Right. Below stairs
and the men,
names.
But the men, uniquely, I think, in England, have women's names. Anyway, I assumed that Hilary Mantel, or is it Mantel? Did you say Mantel?
Well, I said Mantel because I think I heard someone on an Observer podcast saying Mantel, but who knows?
So Hilary Mantel is a woman. Well, there you go.
Yes, there you go. And is the spit of Carol Baskin. Milky face.
And so the latest, Hilary Mantel.
The Mirror and the Light.
Twice winner of the Booker Prize, as we know. Even more impressive now that we know she's a woman, because they don't nominate many women.
That's right, yes.
Winner, I imagine, of the... I think you were a judge once on the Costa Book Prize, weren't you?
Absolutely rightly. Well, you're right, I was, yes.
Yes, who took home the laurel wreath that year?
Sebastian Barry took home. He carried home the...
Never heard of him.
The Costa. Well, you know, he writes rather traumatic Irish novels of some weight.
Literally never heard of him. What did you make of this latest then, the third in the trilogy?
I mean, it's a glorious piece of work because, of course, we all know how it ends. We know how it all ends.
Do we, Martin?
Do you know how it ends? We know how. Well, I haven't read it. But there's a lovely moment where the women of court are set to work unpicking the H and A monogram that had been designed for Henry and Anne, and they're busy desperately unpicking that. It's rather like shortly after you and I finished work, I still had a whole cardboard box full of Craig and Martin photographs to sign. Then I started working with Andy Peters, and we put together a sort of montage, me on one side and Andy on the other. We just reused.
Yeah, well, I think what I'd do if I was Hilary Mantel, and I was adapting, and I was adapting these known events, I'd do something like suddenly, Cromwell walks in, he's all backslapping, telling loads of gags, sort of knob gags, pretty outrageous stuff. You know, he sort of straddles the king, slaps him around a bit, bends over, wiggles his ass in the air, sort of thing. And then you cut to Anne Boleyn.
Yes.
And it's all in Anne Boleyn's imagination.
Oh,
you see what I mean?
That. Yes.
And Thomas Cromwell's just standing there, just with quite sad eyes, probably quite a lot of eyeliner, little floppy hat, just looking a bit sad. Which is pretty much what happened in the four episodes of Wolf Hall I watched. Another thing that, of course, strikes me is that this is during the time of the plague, isn't it? Of course.
Yes. Well, of course. Wasn't? I mean, there was plague all the time, though. Oh, it's forever plague
all the time. People always isolate, self-isolating. That's nothing new, is it? Sort of.
Certainly nothing new.
You know, a slimmed down court. But perhaps our Tudor brethren could comfort themselves with the fact they didn't have to put up with 2 hours of individual minstrels phoning in.
I'm just going to provide the lute part, then I'll bugger off and someone else will come along with a sack butt.
Here we go. Green sleeves again.
Well, there we go. Yeah, they had green sleeves, the odd sort of folderol. Though Philomela lost her love, fresh voice she warbleth, yes again. Tra-la-la-la, folderol. That probably brings us to the end of this re-inaugural, if that's a word, what a coinage, a re-inaugural podcast. What fun it's been.
Well, it's taken my mind off some of the events here, I have to say. Apparently it's Ramadan next week, so...
Of course. Will you be observing? I mean, will the hotel be serving breakfast, I wonder?
Oh, my God, yes. Oh, that's a frightening thought. Yeah, I have to get there down there before dawn.
Yes, you will.
Dawn Ribnitch from the EasyJet in-flight magazine. She's got a hell of an appetite.
Till next time. Lovely. Till next time. Chat with you.
Time Ghost was written and created by Alexander Armstrong and Ben Miller. It was produced by Claire Broughton and Andy Goddard. This was a Hattrick podcast.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.